More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, April showers, May flowers. Are you struggling to find God in the middle of a hard time? We're going to help you connect with His grace, experience His presence, and discern His plan forward. 877-573-7825.
All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to Life.
Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, April showers, May flowers. We're talking about suffering and, more importantly, how to find God in the middle of it. And I want to say right up front that anything we're going to say in this show is not meant to minimize the pain that you might be going through or to make you think that you shouldn't be frustrated with your situation or questioning where God is. The point of the title is to really just remind us that even in the middle of the storms, that God is working and that He has a plan for us. And so we're looking today at that question of how do we find His plan, even in the middle of hard times. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Let's talk about it.
Are you going through a hard season in your life and struggling to feel God's presence? Have you been praying, but it feels like your prayers are hitting the wall? Is there a loss, a health crisis, or a broken relationship that's shaken your faith and left you wondering where God went? Are you watching your spouse or your child or someone you love go through something painful and you feel helpless to do anything about it? Do you feel guilty for being angry at God or for questioning why He's allowing this to happen? Have you tried to give it to God only to have the pain and the worry or come right back into your lap? Let us help you find God in the middle of your pain and reconnect with His grace and help you discover His plan.
877-573-7825 is the number to call with your questions and comments about this whole issue. And again, we all struggle, and there are all times where we wonder where God is and what He's asking us to do and why we're going through whatever it is we're going through. We want to help you have a clearer sense of God walking with you through those times, a clearer ability to hear His voice, and to know His plan forward. So let's talk it out together at 877-573-7825. I find that, this is something that throughout my life I've really had to think a lot about, both because of my own circumstances and the work that I do, walking with people
every single day who are
struggling in big and small ways and really wondering, how do they connect with God, with His grace, with His plan?
Well, I think that's an important part to recognize in this conversation is that as leaders of CatholicCounselors.com, we're not just helping people feel better emotionally. People really do turn to our ministry because their relationship with God matters to them. And when you go through a difficult time, the evil one loves to sneak in there and try to shake our confidence in God, shake our confidence that He exists or that He loves us or that He wants for our good. So you really have spent your whole adult life trying to help people figure this out and answer those questions for themselves personally.
So, we're not just talking about those huge catastrophic things, although we certainly are addressing, how do we find God in the middle of that kind of serious pain. But we're talking about those the other things that are just
you know, you're worried about paying the bills. You're worried You're worried about your kids. You're worried about your relationship.
You're worried about your kids' faith in God because you did everything you thought you could do, and now they're not living that life.
You know, in any situation that causes us difficulty or makes us feel frustrated, confused, alone, unsure where to go next, we need to be able to connect with God and see how He's leading us. And that's what we want to help you do today on More to Life. Big or small, if you are struggling and not having the easiest time finding God in that struggle, let's talk it out together and find that best way forward. 877-573-7825. Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. And St. John Paul, when he was Pope, asked a huge question. Basically, he said, you know, if we take everything God's given us, creation, scripture, salvation, history, and we look at all of that stuff, how can we discern God's plan, some universal principles for discovering how to lead a more abundant life and have healthier, holier relationships? His answer to that question, brilliant answer actually, became what people now refer to as the theology of the body.
And the theology of the body reminds us that God has designed every part of us, body and soul, to be a receiver of His grace. Think of it like a radio antenna. When the weather's clear, the signal comes through loud and strong. But when a storm rolls in, it can block out the signal. All we can hear is static. The same thing is true when we are in pain. God hasn't gone anywhere, but the pain makes it so much harder for us to tune in and hear Him.
You know, that's where a lot of us get stuck. You know, we assume that because we can't feel God in our pain, He must be absent. He must be silent. But in fact, the opposite's true. You know, one of the things I've found in my years of counseling and in my own life is that God's presence in our pain shows up in ways that we don't always recognize, but it is very much there.
So if you're in a hard season right now, and you still have the sense that there should be more than this, that things shouldn't be this way, that you can heal from this or even make something good come from what you're going through, that's not wishful thinking. That's the voice of the Holy Spirit revealing the next steps to leave behind your pain and start living His plan.
Yeah, I want to hit that again, because that is where we hear God in the pain. We hear God in that voice, that impulse that says, there can be more than this. There should be more than this. You can heal from this. You can make more out of it. Something good can come from this. That's not us, right? Because our natural response to suffering is to try to run away from it until we can't run away anymore and then just give up. I mean, that's the fallen human response to any suffering. And if something in us is pushing back against that impulse, if any part of us wants to find an answer or heal or grow in spite of how we're hurting, that's not just me or my voice. That's God holding us up and saying, I'm with you. Let me carry you through this. If you're hurting, you don't have to white-knuckle your way through the pain. Tune into that small voice telling you to rise up and walk, because that's the Holy Spirit right there in the middle of it with you. And you can ask Him for the grace to know what the next small step is and then take it. So let us help you connect with that grace today to hear God more clearly in whatever you're going through, big or small. If you're struggling to connect with that grace, to feel His presence in the middle of your pain, to hear His voice or know His plan, let us help you apply those principles that will let you discover where God is and what He's asking you to do next. 877-573-7825. Let's bring our concerns to the Lord, and then we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come before You today. We bring to You those problems where we are struggling to feel Your presence, to hear Your voice, to know Your plan for us. Help us to remember that You are never absent, and that You're never silent. That if we're having a hard time hearing or feeling You, it's not because You're not there. It's because the pain and fear that we're in is somehow blocking our experience of you out. And help us then to bring that fear and pain to you and ask you to help us to find you, to reconnect with your signal, even in the middle of that storm, so that we can know that you are with us. Help us to lean into that small voice inside of us that tells us that even in the middle of our pain, we can grow from this, that there's more than this, that we can heal from this, that we can make something out of this. Help us to remember, to know that that is the voice of your spirit speaking to our hearts. And help us to lean into that so that we can leave behind our pain and lean into your plan. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, April Showers, May Flowers, we're talking about how even in the middle of difficult times, God is working. He is speaking, he is present, and he has a plan. If you're struggling to connect with that, we want to help you find God in the middle of the difficulties that you're going through, to connect with his grace, to experience his presence, to discern his plan forward. Let us help you apply those ageless principles that our church gives us to be able to connect with the Lord in the middle of difficult times. Whether those are big difficult times or smaller difficult times, or for that matter, the difficult times of somebody that you care about. You know, your spouse, your kids, how can you be there for them and help them connect more with God and his grace in those times? 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Josefina, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Dallas, Texas, on the Guadalupe Radio Network.
Hi, Josefina. Welcome to More to Life. How can we help you out?
Good morning. Yes, I was calling because I am on that path right now. Mm-hmm. I have been a successful professional in the securities industry for over 20 years. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, I was actually in between jobs and got a better job offer, but that didn't come through. And during that time, it's like I felt like I was needing to, like, this position that I was looking forward to just fell through. It was everything that I thought I wanted, everything from better salaries, you know, and benefits, yeah, and a work model, and that was beneficial to my family, and it did not come mm-hmm. through. And so due to things that are just going way too deep into the weeds, but I pray.
Yeah, that's all right. It's devastating.
I prayed significantly for that position and did novenas and everything, but I was still close to the church. I mean, I still went to church, did morning prayer, vespers, mm-hmm. and things like that. But I think I prayed more fervently. But during that time, the Lord, you know, the answer was no, that's not for you. And so I have a backup plan, but how do I know? Because right now I am hurting. When I thought the answer was going to be yes, no matter what, you know, it's like, okay, Lord, I'm down on my knees now, you know, and I'm in the desert. And initiative, I mean, I'm going to say the devil works very strongly. He's like, you see, he gave up on you. He didn't answer your prayer. You know, it's like, start all over again.
So how are you praying about all this now? Just to get some context here. So when you pray about it now, how do you pray?
Sure. So what I do is I do make it a point to go before to go in adoration, which I'm one of the, you know, I'm very lucky to have a church that has adoration mm-hmm. every day in the chapel, and so all day. And so I sit there, you know, and I ask God, you know, and I tell him my problems, and I say, you know, speak, Lord, because your servant is listening, mm-hmm. you know. And things
speak
do come
about
to my mind, like those kind of conversations.
Okay. When you say speak, you know, what this might not, I'm having a hard time finding the best question here, but what, when you say speak, Lord, what are you asking him to speak to exactly? Like, what are you bringing to him to help you sort out it exactly?
Sure. I'm asking him to please provide me guidance on what I should do with my life that will fulfill his will for me to wear a career that will enable me to fulfill.
And that's terrific. So let me give you some ways to kind of begin to hear his voice. So then this is one of the beautiful insights of the theology of the body, right? That St. John Paul really talked a lot about desire. He talked about this in Love and Responsibility, his book. He talks about this in a lot of his writings. But the importance of desire. That God speaks to us through the desires of our hearts. Now, that doesn't mean we just go run willy-nilly and do whatever our feelings tell us to do. It means, because our ability to really discern is broken because of the fall. But he says that we can purify those desires by bringing them to God and saying, okay, Lord, if this is not from you, then take it away. But if we pray that, and that desire is still there for whatever it is, then we have to assume, you know, unless God whaps us upside with a 2x4 or something, we have to assume that desire is from God, right? So just for the sake of argument, this desire for a position that meets all of those criteria that you were looking for in that one job, if you give that to God and that desire still remains to have that kind of work-life balance, to have that kind of security, whatever, that desire is you have to assume it's from God, right? And you keep giving it to him and you say, okay, Lord, this is on my heart. I have no idea how to fulfill this, but I've given it to you and I've asked you to take it away and it doesn't go away. So I know that you're not a God who will tease me and who will just leave something on my heart that you have no plan for. So if you don't take this away, I have to assume that you've got a plan for it. Show me where to look. Show me what the next step is, right? Because very often when we have this desire on our heart, we pray about it, and then we find what we think is the answer. And then we say, that was the one way that God was going to answer it. And because that didn't come through, God must not have a plan for this desire anymore. And that is not true, right? What happens is that we didn't just discern what God wanted us to do. We have to discern the way God wants us to do it. And so if we bring that desire to him and we say, here's the way it could work, and then we go pursue that thing and it doesn't work, we can't assume that God doesn't still have a plan for it. But we have to continue to bring that desire to God and say, okay, Lord, teach me the next thing. Teach me what the next step is. And as you do that and you continue to pray and talk to people about it, okay, this is what's on my heart, this is what I'm looking for, you let anybody who's willing to listen know what the desires of your heart are, what you're looking for, and then you keep getting information about ways that you could fulfill it, ways that you could bring the different parts of your heart together, and just keep saying, I don't know how these things fit, but they're all here, I've given them to you, but they still remain, I believe that you have a plan, show me the next step. God continues to speak through that desire and through that effort to fulfill it. Where we get in trouble, again, number one, is where we settle on the one answer that we could think of, and if that doesn't work, then we assume that God left us alone. Or we let the fear, like you were talking about, stop us from following through. You said you have a backup plan, but you're not moving ahead because you feel like God let you down, so how do you know that you can't do this? Well, God is still speaking to you through that desire on your heart, moving you forward to something. So I want you to bring that backup plan to God and ask and say, you know, look, this is the thought I have about how to fit these things together that I thought this other position would. Is that where you want me to go? If you don't take the desire to do that away, if you want me to do it, then I'm going to pursue it. If you don't take that desire away and you lean into that, because that God is speaking to us through our hearts. We keep wanting a burning bush or some big sign or some big voice. But God speaks to us in the stillness of our hearts through that desire. And as long as we're bringing that desire to him and discerning it and testing it and continuing to ask him to teach us how to fulfill that desire and to show us what his plan is for that desire, he will lead us through it. So I believe with all of my heart, Josephina, that God is already speaking to you. And that he's speaking to you through that longing to have a better work-life balance, to have those benefits that you were hoping would come from that position. But he wasn't teasing you with that position. He was showing you that it's possible, but that he has a different way of fulfilling it. And he wants you to draw closer to him to hear what that is and learn what that is. So I hope that you'll tune into that voice. And you'll really lean into that and pray as I'm suggesting. I'm going to encourage you to check out my book as well, The Life God Wants You to Have, which is all about discovering God's plan when our plans fail. And you can check that out as a way of building on some of the themes that we're talking about here today. But thank you so much, Josephina, for the call. Try this out for a couple of weeks. Call us back. Let us know how it's going. And we'd love to continue to support you through this. But I thank you so much for being willing to reach out. I hope that these suggestions will identify the next steps for you. With that, we are taking your calls at 877-573-7825. We're talking about finding God in the middle of hard times, in the middle of our suffering. How do we experience his presence? How do we hear his voice again? How do we know where he's leading us? Give us a call at 877-573-7825. When we come back, in addition to taking your calls, we'll be joined by Rachel Watkins. She's the developer of the Little Flowers Girls Club and mom of 11. She's going to be talking with us about, you know, how does she connect with God's grace in hard times, especially as a mom of a large family. Stick around for that and a whole lot more when More to Life continues after the break.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, April showers, May flowers. We're talking about how even in the middle of the storms, God is still working, and he has a plan to deliver us. We want to help you connect with his grace, experience his presence, and discern that plan forward. 877-573-7825. If you're going through hardship, let us help you find the answers you're looking for. Joining us right now, Rachel Watkins. She is the developer of the Little Flowers Girls Club and mom of 11. Rachel, welcome to More to Life.
Thanks, Greg. Thanks, Lisa.
So glad to have you with us today. Now, Rachel, you and your husband, Matthew, have gone through a long life together, raising 11 kids together, and there have been many highs and many lows in between, and yet the two of you have managed to hold on to God through all of it. Give us some of the wisdom you've learned over these years.
Well, hold on to God, and that made me laugh, because I think that many of our times with God and our difficulties, and especially those low moments, it was, you know, and with our kids,
I'm sorry,
well,
say that again. You broke up. It was what?
Temper tantrums.
Oh.
You know, I'm sitting there with God, and, like, think of a temper tantrum you've witnessed either in the grocery store with your own children, someone else's. They're just screaming, and all these words are just pouring out of them. And the mom, the parent is just saying, okay, honey, just breathe. Just a minute. Yes, I can't even understand what you're saying. And that's what I had to learn, was how to breathe, how to tell God how I was feeling in a calm voice. And I think we can really rely on God through the wisdom of the church. He has sent us spiritual consolations throughout our entire lives, throughout the history of his arrival on earth. Those are reliable sources of comfort, whether it's reading a psalm, saying a beloved prayer from the church, thinking of a saint's life. For myself, I get a lot of comfort out of imagery. So I like all the images of the church. I like the fact that we can have time with God in front of us. So go to those reliable sources of comfort that have been given to us by the church to calm yourself down and in the quiet of your heart say, Lord, I can't hear you at all. Or, Lord, I think I'm hearing this. Can you help me to hear you quite clearly? And that has brought comfort and truly directed Matt and I through big difficulties and small difficulties through our long marriage.
You know, I think you make a very good point that a lot of people, you know, a lot of people who are not Catholic or who don't understand the depth of Catholicism, look at our sacramentals, that our statues, are the crosses we wear around our necks, the things we have in church, you know, and they think, oh, that's just
idolatry.
Window dressing, yeah. Or idolatry at worst, right? But what you're saying is when we use these gifts of the church, we have a way to tap into the history of God's faithfulness and his love for us that then calms us enough to be able to remember his faithfulness to us, that then calms us enough to hold on to him and say, I don't know where you're taking me, Lord. I need you to be speaking to me. Give me the ears to hear you so that I can follow you through this. So really tapping into those gifts that the church has given us, the prayers, the sacramentals, all of those things, is a great step to reopen our spiritual ears and calm our spiritual hearts.
Thanks for sharing that wisdom with us, Rachel. Always appreciate that. And if folks would like to learn more about your good work, I encourage them to go to beholdpublications.com to learn more about the Little Flowers Girls Club. That's beholdpublications.com. And we're taking your calls right now at 877-573-7825 about finding God's presence and plan through hard times. Stick around, more after this.
Hi, I'm Lisa Popcheck. Do you feel held back by your inner critic? That little voice whispering, I can't, or I'm not good enough. The spiritual master and doctor of the church, St. Ignatius of Loyola, realized that these disheartening thoughts, which he called desolations, are not from God, especially when they tempt us from becoming who God wants us to be. Consolations, on the other hand, come from the Holy Spirit. These positive thoughts encourage us to trust in God's plan for us. If we want to follow God's plan, we need to quell that inner critic and listen instead to the consoling voice of the Holy Spirit. Here's a practice that can help. First, every day, write down your successes. Did you make someone smile? Did you exercise despite feeling low? Write it down. Next, write down the strengths or virtues behind those successes. The kindness that brought out that smile, for instance, or the persistence that helped you exercise. Finally, turn your virtues into daily I am statements. I am kind, or I am persistent. Doing so will remind you that your identity flows from the gifts of God's grace, not that inner critic. For one-on-one support on your spiritual journey, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Welcome back, folks. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck.
I'm Lisa Popcheck.
And today on More to Life, April showers, May flowers. We're talking about those times when, even in the middle of our storms, even in the middle of the pain, God has a plan. He is present. He is still speaking. And he's leading us out of it. But how do we connect with that grace? How do we experience his presence? How do we know what he's doing in our lives in the middle of that struggle? 877-573-7825. Whether the struggle you're in is big or smaller, if you're feeling confused, if you're feeling frustrated, if you're struggling to hear God's voice or feel his presence or know his plan, let's talk it out and find those timeless principles from the church that can help us discern what God's doing and where he's leading us next. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
Let's talk to our next caller who's listening to EWTN Radio in Florida.
Listener, welcome to More to Life. How can we help you out?
Hi. Yeah, I'm on?
Yes, you are. What can we do for you today? Okay. What's going on?
Thank you. Thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
Yeah, sorry. I'm going to try and make this as fast as possible because it's kind of a long-winded story to get to where I am right now. So I fell away from the church when I was like 12, 13 years old. Same time my dad left the church. 18 years old. Basically got abandoned by both of my parents. I've been on and off homeless since then. I'm 38 now. I never settled on a career path. Always just went from job to job, never fitting in anywhere, never really finding a home. A few years ago, I was kind of at the, I was just at the end of my rope. I was about to have absolutely nothing. And that brought me back to the church. And I was just confirmed this Easter. Since I came back to the church, my mom died. All the good things that were happening for me disappeared. And if you know, it's, since I came back, it's like good thing happens, everything falls apart. Everything gets worse. Good thing happens, everything falls apart. Everything gets worse. And, you know, now I'm homeless again, living in a car with my dog, and I see no path forward. I try and pray about it. I don't see a will for my life, and I have no idea what I want or where I'm going or what I need or what God wants me to do. And the only thing I do know is that I want to be able to serve.
That's beautiful. The fact that you can say that in the midst of everything you've gone through is just a beautiful thing.
So I want to start, first of all, by again, agreeing with Lisa that is beautiful. And I want to thank you for the call. I want to say right up front that, you know, the situation that you're in is awful, and it's incredibly painful, and I don't want to take anything away from that or minimize what you're going through.
Exactly.
Okay. So anything I'm about to say is not meant to deny the real struggle and suffering that you're experiencing right now. My heart's breaking for you. Let me ask you this though. All right. When you're praying, right? When you're bringing all this to God, is there any part of it? Sounds like there is. Is there any part of you that feels like there should be more than this? That somehow I ought to be able to make more out of this. That somehow I need to be able to bring good out of this. I mean, is there any even tiny part of you that feels that way?
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean,
right.
You know, honestly, it feels, I don't know if it's just me wanting it to be the truth or if it's something that is.
No, that's God.
Yeah, you can't.
That's God. And here's why.
You can't experience that without the Holy Spirit actively working in your soul.
Because listen, the natural human response to everything you've been through, and you know this because you've been at that plate, you alluded to that.
Yeah, and it's the human response without grace.
The natural human response to everything you've been through is to just lie down and die. That's basically what we're programmed to do as fallen human people. We suffer and like, this is enough. I can't take it anymore. I'm done. That's the natural human response. If there is any part of you that has been through all the stuff that you're going through, all the stuff you've been through, and still feels like there should be more than this, there could be more than this, that somehow you need to find the way to make something good come from this, that ain't you. That's the voice of the Holy Spirit saying, I love you. I do have a plan for you. Let me show you. Now, how do you discover that plan? You can't look out. We can't look outside of us, right? Because you're saying that, you know, since you came back into the church, good things have happened, bad things have happened. All the good things that were happening have gone. That is life, okay? Good things, bad things, they come, they go, they happen. Being a Christian is all about learning how to respond to the good things and the bad things in ways that enable us to be more effective, more intentional, to be able to cooperate with God's grace to start building something out of the ruins that the world is and sometimes that our life is, all right? So you need to be bringing all this to God and say, okay, Lord, teach me how to respond to this. Don't just say, Lord, let good things happen or, you know, save me from the bad things. You can pray that. There's nothing wrong with that, right? But I want you to go beyond that, and I want you to say, Lord, teach me how to respond to this. Show me what the next thing to do to meet this specific need that I've got. Show me how to respond to this particular challenge that I'm facing. Make that be your prayer, because the Christian life, discipleship, is all about learning how to respond in more effective, intentional, graceful ways to both the good things and the bad things that happen, so that we can grow in strength and become the people God is calling us to be. We have a tendency to think, and I'm not saying that you're thinking this, I'm not accusing you of anything, we all tend to think this, that because we're Christian and because God loves us, good things should just happen. Unfortunately, this is not his kingdom, right? The world is, the sinful world is not God's kingdom. He invaded it, but he became man, right? And he went behind enemy lines, and he showed us how to respond to the suffering the enemy inflicts on us so that amazing great things can come from the pain that we have. But there's still pain. Suffering is an inescapable part of life. That sucks, but it's the way it is. And the Christian response to that is to say, but suffering isn't the end of the story. The resurrection comes after the cross. And so it's our job to pray, Lord, how do I find the resurrection that comes after this? How do I respond to this cross, this challenge, this suffering, in a way that will show the power of your grace in my life, that will make other people look at me and say, there must be a God, because nobody could go through the things that he's been through and not just persevere, but make something out of this unless there was. Right, and so I don't know what that plan is for you, and I know that you're in immense pain right now, And again, nothing I'm saying is meant to deny the seriousness of your circumstances. But I do believe that there is, that God has a plan, and you feel that. Otherwise, you wouldn't have called us today. Otherwise, you wouldn't keep going. And I want you, but I want you to keep asking God, okay, teach me how to respond to this. Show me the next step. And I'm going to give you three other principles to kind of keep in mind, all right? Number one, meaningfulness. Number two, intimacy. Number three, virtue. Meaningfulness refers to how can you use whatever gifts, talents, strengths, abilities you've got to make a positive difference either in your circumstances or the lives of people around you. And I'm talking about little things. You can smile at somebody. You can hold the door for somebody. You can do something that alleviates a little bit of your suffering. Right? And so by using your gifts to do something every day to make a positive difference in your circumstances or the lives of those around you. Secondly, intimacy. How can I make choices that build relationships in my life, that make strong, healthy connections? You know, you talked about being abandoned by your natural family. Yeah. You are now part of God's family. You know, you are our brother. You are the brother of all the people that you belong to in that church that you joined right at Easter. Reach out, build those connections, build those relationships. Right? Let people know that not just what you need, but that you're there to serve. Like you said, you have this desire to serve. Say, what can I do? How can I build those connections? How can I build those relationships? Finally, virtue. Virtue isn't just about being nice, it's or being good. It's about being strong. Virtue comes from the Latin word virtus, which means strength. How can I use whatever life is throwing at me to become a healthier, stronger, holier person? And that goes back to that whole prayer of how do I respond to this in a way that will glorify you, help me be more of my best self, and challenge the people around me to be their best self too. Look, you have a huge job in front of you. Okay, and I'm not denying any of the pain that you're in or the seriousness of your circumstances, but the fact that you called in today and shared the story that you shared, I have no doubt that God has a plan for you.
And not only do I believe with all my heart that He has a plan for you, but I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for calling in today, because I know, I am absolutely certain, that there are young people who are going through what you went through at 18 years old, and there is no one who has had the support of family who gets what it's like to be a young person starting out and no support from a family at all. Nobody to co-sign anything for you. Nobody to give you a helping hand. Nobody to do anything. And yet you have made it this far with the grace of God every step of the way. You don't realize how much hope you have given some people today who are looking at launching into the world with no support, no help from a family, and saying, he got this far and he has this faith. And I want you to take hope from your own resilience that brought you this far and know that it can bloom into something amazing because you have served so many people even with your call today.
Yeah, and you know what, based on what Lisa's saying, this just occurred to me as I'm kind of praying through my response to you here. In the Passover meal, there's a prayer called the Dianu prayer.
Yeah.
Right? And it's, and this is a paraphrase, right? But basically what happens is the prayer kind of has people reflecting on the whole journey, right? And the whole thing is, it would have been enough.
Salvation history.
Right? Yeah. It would have been enough had you delivered us from Pharaoh, but then you led us with a pillar of fire. It would have been enough had you led us with a pillar of fire during the night, but you led us with a pillar of cloud in the day. It would have been enough had you led us by a pillar of cloud, but you gave us manna in the desert. It would have been enough had you given us manna in the desert, but you gave us water from the rock, and so on and so forth. The point in this prayer is not just that the good things or bad things happened to them, but in every case, God showed them how to respond to it and overcome the challenge that they were facing. I want you to make your own personal Dianu prayer. I want you to look at all the miserable things you've been through. And I want you to say, it would have been enough, Lord, had you delivered me from this. But then, Lord, you took me through that. And it would have been enough had you taken me through that. But then you delivered me from this. And it would have been enough had you done that. But then you took me through this. All the way up to the point that you're at now. And I want you to see that even though you've struggled mightily, and even though you're still struggling, God has brought you through all of that to this point, and I want you to know that He is continuing to work in your life and bring you to the next point, and the next point, and the next point after that. And now that you have the grace in your life, now that you have the connection to the family of God, He's going to keep leading you even more strongly. Thank you so much for the call. I wish I could take the pain away. I wish I could make life easier for you. But I know that these principles will help you move forward and discover the plan that God has for your life. And I believe with all of my heart that he does. And I hope that you'll call us back periodically to let us know how things are going. Thanks so much for the call, man. And we're taking your calls, listeners, today on More to Life, our show titled April Showers, May Flowers. We're talking about how even in the middle of storms, God has a plan. He is present. He is speaking. He is leading. How can we find God and tune in to his voice, his grace, even in the middle of the pain? 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. As we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day. It comes to us from Isaiah chapter 65, verse 24.
Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear.
I love this verse. And to me, it underscores the idea that God is never silent. Right? We have a tendency to think that, okay, God is silent because we can't hear him. That's a different thing. If I know that I can't hear him, then what that means is that I have to find some way to just turn down the pain and the fear enough to hear his voice. I can do that. It's not easy, but I can do it. But if God's silent, well, I just have to stumble around hoping that someday he'll wake up and say something. God is promising us here that he is already answering us before we call out. He's heard us before we've said anything. And before we're done speaking, he's already responding. He is never silent.
But I think one of the most important things to hear in this is that he is responding to people who are speaking. So our task is to make sure that we don't let the enemy win by silencing us. By saying, oh, well, God's never going to hear me. He's never going to answer me. Maybe he doesn't exist, so I will just shut off and turn away from God's grace. We have to remember to continue to call out to God, to speak to God, to let him know what we need, how we are hurting, that we need to hear his voice. Because as long as we leave that conduit open between us and God, we are giving him a way to speak to us and to direct our path.
Amen. 877-573-7825. By the way, if our previous caller is still listening, we had another caller add a suggestion to make sure to reach out to your local Catholic Social Services, Catholic Charities,
yes,
in your diocese for additional support, and I apologize for not mentioning that before.
Thank you for the caller who mentioned that. I'm glad we could fit that in before the break.
And we're taking your calls right now at 877-573-7825. Are you going through a challenging time where you're just struggling to either feel God's presence, hear his voice, know his plan, discern what the next chapter is? Let's talk it out. 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your calls coming up right after this. Want more tips for living an abundant life through the theology of the body? Follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Instagram at Catholic Counselors.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popcheck.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck, and today on More to Life, we're talking about finding God in the midst of difficult times. How do we hear his voice, know his will, discern his plan? 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Christine, listening to EWTN Radio in New York.
Hi, Christine. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I was calling. I think you're probably familiar with me. My husband served me divorce papers, and I have 5 children in the house, and we're going through that. But in the meanwhile, I'm worried about ending up homeless, but I am definitely checking into housing and selling the house. But in the meanwhile, I'm still dealing with a very barbaric human being, trying all the different therapy and counseling. But It's very oppressive and very abusive, and I'm trying to get him out.
Is he physically abusive to you and the children, Christine?
No, just very emotionally, severely, like, emotionally abusive, screaming and making us all feel bad to be alive, you know?
Yeah. And so what are you asking of us? How can we help you with this? Because there's a lot of different moving parts to this.
Yeah, I guess in the meanwhile, till I can have him out of the house, trying to live without so much turmoil that he's presenting to the kids, and I just kind of wonder what I need to be
Sure. Well, look, when someone bombs are going off, there's a lot of chaos, right? And so you can't necessarily fix the chaos while bombs are still going off. But you can. There are certain things that you can do to manage the fallout, if you will, more effectively. And here's what I want you to do. Every day, I want you to gather the kids together, and I want you to say, guys, this is hard. Now, you don't have to bash your husband or anything. You just, guys, we're all going through a hard time right now. What's one thing that each of us can do to try to take care of each other and be a better team today? And each one of you identify little things that you can do to show up for each other, to take care of each other, ways that you can comfort them, ways that they can show up for you by helping you with stuff around the house or being kind to their siblings. Just generate different ideas, little things that each of you is going to really focus on that day. You can even break this up into, what are we going to do between now and lunch, right? Or now what are we going to do between lunch and dinner? Or what are we going to do between dinner and bedtime? Whatever you need to do, break it up however you need to. But at least once a day, what's one small thing each of us can do to try to take better care of each other and be a better team? And then I want you to bring all that to God and say, Lord, thank you for giving us to each other. Thank you for giving us little ways that we can take care of each other. Help us to be the family that you want us to be. Help me be the mom that they need me to be.
Help us to see you in all of this and cling closely to you, because we know only you can get us through this.
But have that prayer and then root that conversation about how you're going to do a better job, an intentional job of taking care of each other in that prayer. Because what happens when bombs are going off, like you're describing, everybody just sort of tries to take care of themselves. And kids in particular feel threatened because the grown-ups in their life aren't keeping them safe the way they want to be kept.
And often when they don't feel safe and they want to take care of themselves, they're going to be screaming and yelling and rebelling and being cranky because they're trying to say, please pay attention to me. Please notice that I'm alive. Please take care of me. So doing something like this lets them all know every day, I'm here. I notice you. We're going to work as a team through this. We're going to hold on to God together through this. I am here to hear what you need.
And the more you're able to do that, the more they're seeing you as a responsible, healthy grown-up to turn to and keep them safe and to understand that God is with them even in the middle of the struggle. I wish I could take away the pain, Christine. I wish I could make the bomb stop going off in your household. But I know that this will help you draw closer to God and to your kids and help your kids feel safer through it all and help you feel a little more taken care of when you see your kids and you coming together through it all.
And Christine, if you have not done this yet, make sure you're talking to an attorney to get your financial ducks in any kind of a row they can get in, because you need to be in a place where you can take care of all of your children and yourself and not end up homeless. You can't let him have the upper hand in this at all.
And you also mentioned that you have been working with counselors. I don't know if you're working with somebody now. If you are, make sure you're bringing the kids into that and that you're having this conversation with the counselor about how you can all work together to take care of each other through these challenging times. Christine, thank you so much for the call. I hope that these suggestions will give you some small steps to begin taking through this challenging time. If there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out. In the last minute here, I just want to reassure everyone that if you're going through a hard time and you can't hear God or feel His presence, that does not mean He is absent. It means the pain and the fear is making it hard to hear Him and feel Him. The answer is to really start praying, Lord, show me how to respond to this, the challenge that I'm in. Yes, take it away. If it's your will, if you can take it away, take it away. But in the meantime, show me how to respond to this in a way that will help me glorify you, in a way that will help me be my best self, in a way that will challenge the people around me to be their best selves too. Because that clarifies what your next step needs to be, even while you're going through that. And again, if you are hearing any part of you say, there should be more than this, I can make something out of this, I ought to be able to heal from this, that is the voice of the Holy Spirit. Lean into that and let Him lead you out of the pain into His plan.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. For copies and downloads of this program and for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.